When Douth Hall, owned by Owen Brennan, the head of agri-food giant Devenish, was put on the market earlier this year, there was great curiosity about who would buy it. Brennan had bought it in 2013 for €5 million, and its unique landscape is very unique archaeologically, and it also has 552 acres of prime farmland that is part of a global network of farms which are looking to become net zero by 2050. Well, it was announced yesterday that the buyer is all of us, because the state has spent €11 million of public money in it, and it'll become our seventh national park under the National Parks and Wildlife Services. And I'm delighted to say the head of the NPWS, Niall O'Donoghue, joins me this morning. Good morning, Niall.
Good morning, Ella.
Why did you buy it?
Because this is one of the most unique sites in the world, beyond a shadow of a doubt. It is truly special. If there is a cradle to our civilization, this is it. It covers 5,000 years of history, seven historic periods, and it fuses all that with an incredible landscape, with 14 different habitats, 54 bird species, a special area of conservation, a special area of protection for the birds, for the kingfisher in particular.
And the Boyne River, of course.
And the Boyne River, and it flows right down to the woodlands and the Boyne River. So we have acquired on behalf of the state something that is just magical. It is truly a magnificent seventh national park.
A once-in-a-generation opportunity, it was described by the minister.
Absolutely. These opportunities don't come around too often. And the engagement with Owen Brennan and Professor Alice Danton and Devenish started much earlier this year, before it went on the market, because we would be very familiar with Douth from their work on agri-ecology and so on, and clearly from a National Monument Service perspective. And you try your best not to leave these opportunities go by. So it responds to a number of things that the National Parks and Wildlife Service and National Monument Services are about. Clearly the agri-economy piece of it. And that is fascinating for us, the amount of research they've done, but the emerging results from that. And as well as acquiring the land itself, all 552 acres, we've also acquired that research and the intellectual property around that research. And our agri-economy team are really looking forward to leveraging that, to continuing that work, and to bringing it and sharing it with the farming community.
I remember back, was it in July 2018, and during the time of the drought, and
yes,
there was a dig of the garden beside Douth Hall, and it revealed this 5,500-year-old passage tomb that was likely built by Ireland's earliest farmers there. This is deep history.
Absolutely. This has been in agriculture for those 5,000 years. And that tomb is just, it's incredible. The level of detail you can see on it, even the apprentice stonecutter, his work is still visible today alongside the master stonecutter, and still attracting a measure of comment and all of that. So we've the privilege and honour of the challenge of bringing that to the public.
And I suppose buying it is the easy bit. Now you have to come up with a master plan, because you're turning it into a national park. And I just wonder, with regard to the view you have and the vision you have for it, what is the point of national parks in Ireland?
This is a wonderful public asset. The history this brings, the future possibilities it brings around that agricultural piece, around contemporary farming methods and farming for nature and farming in a more sustainable way. But also, the Northeast does not have a national park. We have six national parks. The Northeast part of the country doesn't have one.
How will you shape it, though? I mean, what's your vision for it as a national park? Is it going to be a place? I mean, I suspect that some people out there think of national parks as places of wilderness and nature.
They do. And the accent from each national park is very different. Each of our national parks offers something unique. The voice that this will use will be very, very different. This has elements that no other national park has globally, I would argue. The 5,000 years of archaeological history, the contemporary farm, the working farm, the historic buildings. It has 17th and 18th century buildings that need to be brought back to, that need restoration. But it has a wonderful walled garden. Again, that is something that we're really looking forward to. This is absolutely stunning. And the bones of it are excellent. It has 18th century farm buildings that can be repurposed. And then it has the SAC and the SPA and the Shannon, or the Boyne frontage. But it can also be united with the other public sites in the area, with Newgrange and Oldbridge.
Do national parks have any legal basis in Irish law? Are we clear in Ireland legally what exactly they're for and how they should be operated?
We are. The national parks are all protected, like our 78 nature reserves. They are protected in law. They are all either part of the SAC or SPA network, and they all conform to the IUCN guidelines.
Do we need though Irish law to actually define what they're for and how they should operate?
I think that's a challenging question. We manage our national parks, I suppose, for presentation and for preservation, if you like. They are public amenities, rediscovered by many over the course of the COVID lockdown. What is my nearest park? What is my nearest nature reserve? And we're very conscious that they are a public good, both in terms of the biodiversity value and in terms of the amenity value. They are rooted in communities, and the communities where these parks are hugely proud of them. And many in those communities volunteer with us to help maintain those parks, to help us dealing with invasive species, with litter control and with fire patrol. So they are very much of those communities and in that context, the primary responders within those communities are my colleagues across the NPWS, the wonderful 440 people who work night and day to maintain these parks, to present and to protect.
I just wonder, given your small budget compared to other bodies in Ireland, how wise it is to take on the responsibility of a seventh national park when we look at our six national parks. And, you know, some people are, you know, clear that they've been they're controversial, to put it mildly, in terms of the management and the status of them at the moment. And I just wonder, will you be able to manage it without an increase in funding?
Well, the simple answer to that is no. You increase your footprint by a seventh. You have to resource that. It is being resourced. Our budget has increased manifold since 2020. And we'll grow to manage this seventh national park.
And you might have an eighth down in Kerry, because I know there's a lot of people who are very, very keen to hear that you will buy the Conor Pass lands. And I know now, just last week, the Owen Moore fishery in Kerry is on the market as well. People want the NPWS to bring that into public ownership. Is there any chance that might happen?
We high nature value sites always interest us, Ella. We don't do our negotiating over the airwaves. The owners of the Conor Pass know where we are. But it is protected. It is an SAC. And I'm quite familiar with it. Currently, we have 17 different land transactions going on. We have added strategically high nature value areas to every single one of the national parks in the country this year. And just to come back, if I may, to the point about the challenges of managing national parks are ongoing. Rhododendron comes up, and I just put it on the table because it comes up. But I can say to you that Eamon Meskell and his team at Killarney National Park have cleared over 400 hectares of rhododendron this year. It is hand to frond combat. And equally, Sue Callaghan and her team in Glenveagh, they have cleared entire sides of mountains. But it's not just about clearing that invasive species, it's about what you replace it with. And the managing those habitats from a holistic perspective, replanting and then managing those for deer and so on.
And in 10 seconds, just getting back to this exciting news yesterday, and I know how thrilled all of you are that you have secured this site. When will it be open to the public?
It's going to take 24 to 48 months. We will bring it to the public in stages. It is not ready for safe public access. So you will probably see managed public access
in the next 2 years.
Mm. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Niall O'Donoghue, thank you very much indeed for coming in this morning. We very much appreciate it, and best of luck with the project.